Last Sunday night, I preached from the first chapter, the first four verses. I want to read those. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And there were some things that I noted from these particular verses that contribute to the fullness of our joy. They are, number one, the eternity of Christ. Now, I understand that's perhaps not a very good phrase, but I simply mean by that statement that he was from the beginning. That which was from the beginning. We understand that Christ had no beginning and had no end, that he is from the beginning, that he is God. That gives us joy. Also, the humanity of Christ, that he came and lived among us, and hands handled him, and he manifested himself unto us. Not only is Jesus God, he is also human. And that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. This is a source of joy. And we also understand that because he is eternal, because he is also human, he was the perfect sacrifice and therefore could offer himself for our sins. And that is the theme that John continues with in verse 3, that we which have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Now this has in it the idea of communicating the story of Christ and loving to tell the old story of Christ, of the love that Christ had for us. So when we know the eternity of Christ, we know the humanity of Christ, when we understand that our salvation is based in him and not on any other thing, and we communicate our personal testimony of salvation in Christ, and we preach the gospel of Christ, then this brings us a fullness of joy. Now let's read verses 5 through 10. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie not and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. This morning I want us to think about this thought, the other side of the covenant. Jeff read one side of the covenant, and it's encouraging. I can't think of anything that's more encouraging than to read God's side of a covenant. You know, a covenant, it consists of two parties. You cannot have a covenant if there's just one person involved. And the covenant that God made was with Israel wasn't a one-sided covenant. Now, Jeff read one side of that covenant, but there's another side to the covenant. And if you just read at your leisure the rest of these verses in chapter 26, you'd see that God said, "But if ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes," and then he begins to tell the nation of Israel what he will do to them, if they don't keep his commandments. In other words, God made a covenant with Israel, and God said, I'll do this. But then the nation of Israel agreed that they would keep God's covenant. So a covenant involves two parties. Somehow, we've gotten the idea that in Christianity there is a covenant, but it's God's covenant with man, that God has just promised us all the wonderful things he'll do for us, and that there is not a second party involved in that covenant. There's not another side to it. But I think in these verses of Scripture we're seeing that there is indeed another side to the covenant that God has made with the church and with us in this, the age of the New Covenant, our New Testament. Now notice that there are three statements in here that are based on if we say. There's one statement based upon if we confess. And there's one statement based upon if we walk. And I get the impression that there were people in this congregation to whom John wrote this letter who were saying. They were saying. And what they were saying did not square with the truth of God. And John, in these statements, writes to them, correcting what they were saying. Because the statements are, if we say. Now remember, this letter is written to saved people. They're people who are covenant people. They're regenerated people. They're church people. And the statement is made, if we say, if we walk, if we say, if we confess, if we say. And my idea is, as I read these statements, is that there had been a lot of saying going on in the congregation. There had been a lot of saying going on among the people of God. Now in verse 5, John establishes a principle, an undeniable principle. And upon that undeniable principle, he bases then these other statements. This then is the message. Now, that word message means this is the promise. This is the announcement. It has in the idea that God made a proclamation, that God made a promise, that God made a statement. This then is the message which we have heard of him. Of whom? Of Jesus Christ. What is the statement, the announcement, the proclamation, the message? The message is this. And John said, I declare it unto you. And what is that message? What is that statement? What is that proclamation? What is that promise? That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And we've got to establish this, John said. That in him, that is, that God is light. Words just false, or just literally means light. Nothing mysterious about the word at all. God is light. And in him, that is, in God, there is no darkness at all. Now we need to get that truth down deep inside. That God is light. You say, well, how much light? Well, he's all light. You say, well, how much darkness is there in God? There's no darkness at all. Now, why would John write such a statement. Because there were people in this congregation who sinned, and at the same time claimed complete and total fellowship with God in their sin. Now that's, you know, the guy said, sure, I'm telling a lie, but I want you to know it's a lie that God approves of. Sure, I realize there's an immoral act involved here, and I'm involved in this immoral act, but God is involved in it with me. God wants us to involve ourselves in immorality together. This is God's will. I need you and you need me, and we're both Christians, and so it's all right. God said, now let me tell you something. John is writing to them, and he's saying, look, if there's darkness, then it's not of God. If there is light, then it is of God. But don't say this is light and this is darkness and it's all of God, because God is not darkness and in Him is no darkness at all. Now you say, Brother Penn, what you're trying to say is that issues are black and white. That's exactly right. That issues are darkness and light. That's exactly what John is saying to these people. And he says, I want to establish this fact that anyone who claims that God is a partner in their sin, it's strong language. If anybody is claiming that God is a partner in their sin, it's going to be strong language. Be very strong language. And evidently people were saying, verse 6, if we say what? If we say we have fellowship with Him, with whom? With Jesus, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now let's look at it. If we say that we have what? Fellowship. We understand that fellowship is joint participation. If you have fellowship, that means that there are two people, three people, there are people like this, there is joint participation. This is not the fellowship of my hands, okay? That is not fellowship. This is fellowship. When they are together like this, that's fellowship. When I pull them this far apart, that's not fellowship. Now, if we say we have fellowship with Jesus Christ and we walk in darkness, we're saying that Jesus is walking in darkness. Okay? And John has just said, in Him is no darkness. I really don't know how to illustrate this. Every time I've tried to think of some sort of illustration, I just come up with some sort of dumb thing, which is not unusual for me. Or you either one, as far as that goes. But, you know, sometimes, well, I remember seeing this on television, and I thank God I don't remember everything I see on television. But I saw this fellow leaning on a bar, not the kitchen bar now, I mean a real bar up in Illinois. And had the drinks all set out there and the beer here and the beer there, customer there. And he said he was the world's only Christian bartender. And he stated explicitly that he and Christ were having fellowship and Christ was participating with him in serving liquor at this bar. Now, I don't believe that. I believe that Christ is not darkness nor evil. And Christ wasn't involved in that. And there's a lot of kinds of darkness, and perhaps the greatest darkness is spiritual darkness. There are people who do mean things to me. It's not that I'm paranoid, that they just really do mean things to me. And there are some of the students at school who enjoy seeing me get not disturbed, but they like to get me stirred up. That's more entertaining than studying and stuff like that. And so they sent in my name and address to Reverend Ike. And I really got, you know, the lucky stuff that he sends, the oil you take a bath in to make $1 million, it doesn't work. I took a bath in that stuff, you don't ever get $1 million. The salt, holy salt, doesn't do a bit of good. But you know, that man claims things of God and for God that are just outright blasphemous lies. That's the kind of spiritual darkness that I think John had in mind. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. Now that's what John said. If you say, I'm walking with God, but you're in darkness, John said, you tell a lie. Now I think there were people at this congregation, in this congregation, at this church, who were saying, as their brethren looked at them, as the church looked at them and their lifestyle, which was like the world in godly, in ungodly, dark behavior, they said, but we're walking in fellowship with God. And God said, no, you're not. You're telling a lie. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. Now what's he saying? Well, he's saying this: if I walk in the light and if you walk in the light, then we're both walking in the light, and we're also fellowshipping with Jesus Christ. Now, what is this light? If we walk in the light, you know, well, we make some kind of Hollywood production out of the thing, and that's this mysterious Shekinah light or whatever you want to say. Brethren, let me show you something. Thy word is a light unto my path. You know what the light is? It's God's truth. Not anything mysterious about that. If we walk in the light, what's it mean? If we walk according to what the Bible teaches, okay? You say, well, I'm looking for some light that shines, you know, that I'm going to walk in. That's not what he's talking about. It's truth. That's what he's talking about. Now, if I do what the Bible teaches me to do, I'm conscious of it, and I'm trying to do and live my life by what the Bible teaches me to do. And Morris King is living his life and trying to do what the Bible teaches him to do. You know what happens to me and him? We have fellowship one with another. It's just that simple. We can get along. We can get along well and do good. Why? Because I'm trying to live by the Bible. He's trying to live by the Bible. And God does live by the Bible. So there we are, all three of us in fellowship, joint participation. Now, if Morris lives according to the Bible and I walk in darkness, then we don't have any fellowship. It's just that simple. See, this is the other side of the covenant. This is my side of the thing. See, we talked about God's side of the thing. There's another side to it. Have you ever noticed how people like to tell you how close to God they are? and how the modern psychological approach to Christianity is to always give good news. You know, how are you? I am fine. God is blessing. We've never been so happy in our lives. This is the most wonderful thing. You know, and a psychological lie is just as big a lie as any other kind of lie. Now this word walk is literally the way we act, our daily conduct. And if we walk in the light and he's in the light, he doesn't ever walk in darkness. We have fellowship one with another, that is, with everybody else that's walking with him in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It just presents a picture of perfect harmony. You know, if you're living according to the Bible, then you're continually forgiven of your sins because of your confession, etc. And we'll get to that in just a minute. If. You say, well, if I don't walk in the light, am I still saved? Yes. You're still saved if you don't walk in the light, but you don't have fellowship with him. Okay. So, well, now, wait a minute. You mean you can be saved and be out of fellowship? You sure can. You can be eternally, gloriously, and forever saved and be out of fellowship with God. Be miserable in God's presence. Be miserable in the presence of God's people. Be miserable when you read the Bible. And be miserable when you try to pray. You can be out of fellowship with God. You can be out of fellowship with one another. You can be out of fellowship with a preacher. You can be out of fellowship with the Word of God. Out of fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You can be out of fellowship. That doesn't mean you're lost and dying and going to hell, because you're saved forever by being born again, and you are safe in Jesus, okay? But you can be out of fellowship. Now, if we say that we have no sin, have you ever noticed that people like to talk about what a wicked sinner they used to be? Now that's fine. I mean, you want to come to the television studio and produce a religious show, it's altogether proper and fitting to have people come and talk about what a great sinner they were. Now this is what I want. Friend, you were a sinner and you are a sinner. You know, John's writing to these people, and I really think there were some people in the church who were saying that they didn't sin. You know, I was rather suspect in the congregation there were people who were saying, well, you know, I used to be a sinner, and I used to do a lot of bad things, and I used to live this way, and I used to live that way, but now, and they just glow in the dark, you know, now. I'm telling you, your wickedness is just as, in one way, is maybe more harmful than the wickedness that you practiced as a sinner. But you sin. Whenever Paul writes Galatians, he talks about things like covetousness and lust and having a mean spirit, unforgiveness. You see, you can do all these while you're sitting and reading the Bible. Did you know that? I mean, you can be covetous and filled with lust and unforgiving and hateful and despised and despisers of men and all these other things that the Word of God condemns. You can do all that while you're sitting and reading the Word of God. You can even do it while you're down on your knees calling it prayer.
I quit going to the bars years ago, but you didn't quit being a sinner years ago. You know, you're still a sinner. And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And this word deceive literally means you trick yourself. You know, that's to cause to err, to lead astray, to make to wander. Now here's what he's saying. If we say that we have no sin, we will cause ourselves to wander and stray and become involved in all kinds of unchristian activity. There are a lot of bad attitudes that Christians can have. But one of the worst attitudes any Christian can have is that he used to be a sinner. That's probably the worst attitude you can get, is that when you were born again, you quit being a sinner. You're just a born again sinner now. And you still got a flesh spirit that's just as strong as it ever was. And it can do everything that it was capable of doing before you were ever saved. And if you feed that spirit, that flesh, and encourage it, it'll do some mean and wicked and ungodly things. I remember what Brother Goodwin said Wednesday night. Have no confidence in the flesh. I'm going to tell you something. I don't have any confidence in my flesh. But here's another revelation. I don't have any confidence in your flesh either. You say, Brother Penn, you ought not to ever trust your flesh. You're just a man. I don't trust my flesh. But I don't trust your flesh either. I don't trust you as far as your flesh is concerned. And you shouldn't trust mine. That's why we need forgiveness. I do wrong and you do too. And I imagine there were some people in the church who were saying, look how those people do things wrong. You just look at this thing. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie not and do not the truth. There were people who were saying, hey, I have fellowship with God, but I never go to church. I think a man who says that's a liar. He said, well, I can have just as much fellowship with God on the lake as I can up there with those people. That's a lie. You can't either. But if we walk in the light, and there were people who said, hey, I'm walking just like the Bible said, but they were in a dark corner over here. And John said, that can't be. If you're walking in the light, then you're going to be where the light is. You can't. There's no darkness in God. If we say that we have no sin, I really think there were people who were saying, wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody was just like me? Wouldn't our church really be great if everybody was just like me? You never heard that kind of hypocritical testimony given in the church? We deceive ourselves. And the truth, that is not prompting us to say that. If we confess our sins, this is evidently the way God wants us to do it. And this word confess means to assent to agree with, to concede, to admit, to say the same thing. What he's trying to say is that we need to say the same thing about sin that God does. Okay? Let's don't have a different idea of sin from God. Whatever God says sin is, let's say amen to it, okay? If God says it's wrong to lie, instead of making that excuse and giving a reason why we needed to lie, let's just say no, it's wrong to lie. And when God says not to lie, I just say amen. You're right, God, it's wrong to lie. Whenever the Bible says that it's wrong to steal, instead of saying, but I needed that, and I deserve that, and I took it because I had already earned it, and they just wouldn't give it to me, instead of making excuses, instead of making reasons why a lie is right or stealing is right, just admit and agree with God that it's sin. I think what John's trying to say is, as long as you are in the darkness,
justifying why you're in the darkness, you're never going to get up out of the darkness and get in the light. You know, if I go into a dark room, shut the door, and there's not any light there, and I kneel in that darkness and I say, "Now, God, it's somewhat dark in here." And I'm not out there in the light, but I intend to be out there someday. You know, just justify my being in the darkness and say, "Now, God, I like it here in the darkness, and there's really not anything wrong with the darkness, and I know that someday you'll make this darkness light and justify everything that's involved." You know, we're not going to get up and get out of the darkness. It's whenever we look around and see darkness and say, "This is dark in here, and I don't like darkness. I abhor darkness, and I will get up out of the darkness, and I will go to the light." That's when we make the change that really counts. God is not going to come and make dark light. If we confess, just agree with God about the concept of sin and what is sin, then He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, I guess there were some people there who were saying that, don't you? If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, because God said, "For all have sinned." You know, if you say you hadn't sinned, first thing you need to understand is that Christ's death was in vain. Because if you didn't sin enough to become lost and die and go to hell, then everybody else could have lived the same way. And Christ's death was not necessary. If we say we've not sinned, we just literally make God a liar. And you say, what do you mean talking about sin? I'm talking about just quit making excuses. Quit justifying yourself. Quit talking about the way you was raised. Quit talking about, "Well, I just never could bring myself to do this." Just quit talking about justification, making excuses, everything else. Just come straight and clean before God and agree with God 100%. "I have sinned, God." And you don't have to make so general that you don't say, "Well, I don't know where, but I'm sure sometime and I made some kind of mistake." You're a sinner. And I just put it down in the way I used to preach a long time ago. You're a dirty, rotten, lying, hell-bound sinner. Okay? That's the way I used to preach. I mean, don't make excuses. If we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar. Listen, I'm going to believe God every time, as opposed to believing a man. You tell me you hadn't sinned, but I'm going to tell you what, you have sinned and you're a liar. Because God says if we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. There's another side to the Christian covenant. And it's walking according to God's revelation. I think that's what walking in the light is. Just take this book and try to walk and live according to what it teaches in it. That's walking in the light. If you're doing everything this book says, you're walking in the light. Okay? Don't worry if you say, "Well, I don't know about walking in the light." What is it? It's doing what this book says. If you're not doing what this book says, then you may be in some light, you know, but there's some darkness, and you can't have fellowship if there's darkness and light. You got to walk in the light to have the fellowship, joint participation that you want to have. If, you know, God said to Israel, "If you'll keep my covenants, if you'll walk in my covenants, then I will." And right here He's saying, if you say, if we walk, if we say, if we confess, there are those ifs there. And this is the new covenant. You know, there's key words in here, key concepts. That is, Jesus Christ cleanseth us. Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, over and over again. It's all in Christ. If it wasn't for Him, there just wouldn't be anything, okay? We wouldn't have any hope. We couldn't do anything. We couldn't go anywhere. It's Christ. Trust Him. Believe Him.